From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at a popular store in Geneva, in the heart of the Finger Lakes. The store is called Hernandez Mexican Store. It sells Mexican staples of all kinds, produce, canned goods, snacks, sweetbreads. But in the last few days, this popular store has become a ghost town. Several customers noted over the weekend that roughly 90% of the traffic was gone. The store then put out its own notice to the public. They are now offering home delivery service. That's because a significant portion of the clientele is concerned about going out in public, hearing rumors of ICE agents and mass deportation. What's happening in Geneva is happening in Rochester and in communities across the country. That is, there are rumors everywhere. So far, there isn't a whole lot of corroboration, but the Trump administration has promised millions of deportations starting right away. The Rochester Police Department released a statement clarifying that they don't have authority in immigration proceedings. Rochester Mayor Malik Evans has affirmed that he was made aware that federal immigration officials were in the area this past weekend, but he has not received any information about the outcome of their presence. He continued to say that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement does not alert, coordinate with, or involve local governments or law enforcement in their activities. What's clear is that President Trump feels empowered to act on immigration. He campaigned on exactly the kinds of ICE action that is being discussed now. Pew Research finds that 56% of American voters support mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. That includes 88% of Trump voters, but also more than a quarter of Harris voters. And yet Pew offers another piece of data that seems contradictory. 64% of Americans support allowing undocumented immigrants a way to stay in this country if certain conditions are met. So what are those conditions? Well, almost 80% of Americans want background checks for undocumented immigrants. More than half say that undocumented immigrants should be required to get a job. And certainly we know that many people are crossing the border looking for jobs. For the moment, the Trump administration is not focused on a path to staying, but instead a plan for deporting. WXXI will continue to report what we know, understanding that there is tremendous amounts of buzz and speculation. We will be pursuing and confirming facts, and we welcome listeners to share what they are seeing and hearing. All of which brings us to this hour's conversation. Last year, we sat down with documentary filmmakers Robert Bilheimer and Heidi Ostertag, who were working on the completion of their latest film. And now it's done. It's called Running to Stand Still. The public can see the film on Thursday at 5:30 at Hollerhorn Distilling in Naples. We'll share more information about the event that's coming up in just 2 days. But first, let me welcome back to the program Robert Bilheimer. Bob is president of Worldwide Documentaries and director of Running to Stand Still, Migrant Search for Hope in the Promised Land. Welcome back. Nice to see you
here. Always good to be here, Evan. Thanks.
Welcome as well to Heidi Ostertag, the executive producer of the film. Thank you for being with
us.
Thank you, Evan. And welcome to, on the phone, to Michael DeBruhl. Michael is a retired Border Patrol agent and a director of a migrant shelter in El Paso, Texas. Michael, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
So again, Thursday is a big day for this film that has been a long time coming. If you want to see the film, the event runs from 5 to 9 at Hollerhorn Distilling in Naples. The screening starts at 5:30. The admission is free. It is really a great community hub that they have down there in Naples, and we have talked to the owners a number of times. So no matter your disposition on immigration, on deportation, etc., if you want to see the film, it's free. Chance to do that. The film, about 25 minutes long, a little longer than a short, not as long as a feature. You know, in the short attention span age, it's probably perfect, Bob.
Just about.
But this has been a long time coming. And I want to back up and just, before we get to the film, I want to ask all three of our guests a little bit about what, if you are sort of starting to hear the same kind of things that is creating this buzz, maybe it's fear, maybe it's speculation. How are you feeling and what are you hearing, Bob?
I think it's pretty bad. What we're experiencing is what I might call the politics of fear, the politics of pain, the intimidation, the actions that are taking place. As you said, a really good intro. Are only going to get worse. We're seeing kids taken out of school. And it's just a beginning. I think the point being with Trump is that they've been sitting around for 4 years trying to figure out this plan, which is why we saw, 200-plus executive orders in day one. And I'm just deeply, deeply concerned about this. It's going to affect our own community here. Kids are going to be taken out of school. I should tell you very briefly that three people that we invited to be here on the show said they wouldn't come or couldn't come because they were afraid.
Yeah, I understand that. And I want to say to listeners and viewers, I mean, we very much, we strongly believe in the notion of nothing about us without us, having conversations. If the conversation is about a particular segment of the community, they should be included. But Bob's right. I mean, this is a case, this is a moment where it is not easy to convince someone to speak publicly, and I understand that. So I want to say I understand right out of the gate. I understand why. I also want to ask you a little bit, Bob, before I turn to your colleagues. Mm-hmm. You know, you say that it feels pretty bad out there. There's a lot of fear, and you're right to point out that this administration has come in this time. I think Trump, the sequel, is a lot more planned out and prepared. So they are prepared to govern in the way that they promised to. But they won the election. And you look at this polling and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of nuance in the polling. But a majority of Americans, when you ask them just straight out, do you support mass deportation? 56% say yes. What do you make of that?
I don't think that folks are really aware of what this means to our country and to the people who are being affected. I think that will become apparent very soon. Our job with this movie is to kind of just lay out the truth of what's happening. So my sense is that the reason you're seeing those kinds of numbers originally is because there's, as there often is, a lack of awareness and genuine, simple knowledge about what's going on. And it goes back to, I think, misconceptions. Words like refugee and asylum seeker, these are dehumanizing concepts. And language that is not helping anyone, I don't think. I think that soon the American public, and I'm hoping, will begin to realize what we're in fact doing and what's at stake in terms of really the soul of our country. I believe it's that important. It's not freight trains anymore.
Well, in a moment, we'll talk about how this film has come together and what the filmmakers want you to see. Heidi, do you want to add to anything about how you, the climate that you're hearing about and feeling and seeing out there right now?
Yeah.
And make sure you get right on that microphone for me.
Thank you. I think Mike can really speak to this because he's on the border in El Paso, but we're feeling it here as well. It is fear and intimidation, suffering. People are afraid to go to the store. I think what we found with folks here in Rochester, it's not so much that those who work with migrants or advocate for them, the resettlement community, which is what we are, they're not afraid for themselves, but they're afraid for the people they represent. And they're scrambling. And I think Bob's point is well taken. I don't think the American people realize the trickle down. They're worried about the economy. This is going to trickle down to the economy. Everybody agrees we need immigration reform. Absolutely. It's completely outdated. But it doesn't have to be cruel, and it doesn't have to be inhumane. So what we've tried to do with Running to Stand Still is to let migrants speak for themselves and from a human point of view, take it down to that.
Michael DeBruhl is joining us from the border in El Paso, Texas. He's the director of a migrant shelter and a retired Border Patrol agent. Michael, how long were you in the Border Patrol?
I was in the Border Patrol for 26 years.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your path from Border Patrol agent to directing this migrant shelter.
Well, it's interesting. It was kind of a meandering path, if you will. But when I retired in 2014, shortly thereafter, a few years after, I started hearing kind of what we all hear, and that is that, you know, all migrants are criminals, and they're being released from insane asylums, and countries are sending us their worst people, etc. Kind of capped with separating children from their families, etc. Just things that I really could not abide by, and I knew not to be true from my experience in the Border Patrol. And so I just decided one day, I was in church, and they passed out a form in which you could sign up to volunteer at a migrant shelter, and I started doing that. So from there, that led to like talking to groups, etc., kind of lending some fidelity to this discussion that we were having and still continue to have in the United States regarding migration. And that's really, that led to actually me volunteering at a shelter, the Sacred Heart Shelter in El Paso, and eventually being director of that shelter.
Mike, what do you think? I'm sure there's plenty of things that you hear either in the media or in the public discourse that you think maybe is missing the mark in terms of accuracy on this issue. But what do you think, what do you hear the most that makes you feel like people don't fully understand?
Well, I mean, the thing is that migration and immigration in the United States is it's a hub with many spokes. You know, it's not a binary discussion, and that is close the border or open the border, or you know, all things are bad, or our migrants are bad, or you know, we should open the border completely. It's not a binary discussion, but that's what we hear. You know, so I think that's what's really off the mark, and that, you know, we can actually reform, our immigration system in a way that upholds the rule of law, is consistent with national security, is consistent with our economic interests, etc. So I think that's where we're really missing the mark. And unfortunately, you know, it's unfortunate that we can't have engage in a robust and respectful debate regarding the facts and transparency. And working towards a system which benefits all of us.
Mike, I know you've seen some hard things in your career. You've seen people die. You pulled someone out of the water after they had drowned. And I don't bring this up to be sensationalistic. I bring it up because I think it's valuable to hear your perspective, how you saw the humanity in moments like that. I mean, I know you've talked about still being able to see that person's eyes in the water, and how had that affected you and maybe helped you see people as people?
Well, and I think that's important also, and that is that, you know, I worked in the Border Patrol for a long time. There's a lot of great folks in the Border Patrol, and you cannot be a Border Patrol agent and not be affected by the humanity of what you see every day working in the field. In many aspects, I think Border Patrol agents are much closer to the reality of what happens in migrants' journeys from their homes to the United States and how difficult that is. And as a matter of fact, the Border Patrol had to open up a program, a robust program having to do with self-care and mental health, because the suicide rate was so high in the Border Patrol, and it's because it's a difficult job, and it's difficult for anyone to do.
And, you know, Mike, I asked our guests in studio about this a little bit, and I want to get your take as well about maybe some of the where the culture is at the moment. Americans are interesting creatures. I don't say this to be cheeky, but Americans will say that they want government out of their health care, and they really like their Medicare. And, you know, they'll say they want government to stop taxing them, but they want higher taxes on wealthier people. And they will say that they want a chance for people who are undocumented, who are in this country, to have a path to staying here. And yet a majority of Americans also says yes to mass deportation. So there's always some contradiction about us as human beings. And I want to get your take on, you know, some of that data that Pew has pulled together about what it says about this moment. What do you make of some of those numbers, especially that slight majority of support for mass deportation, Mike?
I think that when you, when we are, first of all, let me say that it's very difficult to, it seems to me, to figure out what's true and not true about any subject, because there's so much information out there. And so it's very difficult to actually figure out what's true and not true sometimes. But when you are constantly, you know, when the American public hears what we hear every day about crime, et cetera, and first of all, and also I don't blame anybody for thinking that there's an immigrant crime wave, because that's what we hear all the time. But it's just not that simple. But when you hear that message all the time, then, you know, you start to think that, okay, well, maybe we need to, how do we get rid of this problem? Are we threatened by this? And if we feel threatened and we're concerned, then we want an action from that concern. And that's, I think, what leads to, what has led us to this point in time where the American public says, you know, a majority says, listen, okay, we need to get rid of this problem. We're threatened by this problem. You know, what action is going to be taken? So I think that's what has led us to this, is the constant messaging regarding people coming into this country.
We're talking to Michael DeBruhl, who is a retired Border Patrol agent and director of a migrant shelter in El Paso, Texas. And with me in studio is the team behind Worldwide Documentaries and the new film Running to Stand Still, Migrants Search for Hope in the Promised Land. Robert Bilheimer, Heidi Ostertag are with us in studio. You can see that film. The screening starts at 5:30 on Thursday night. 5 to 9 is the event. It's down at Hollerhorn Distilling. It's a great location in Naples. The admission is free, and there will be appetizers, cash bar. I mean, there's always a lot going on at Hollerhorn, but this is an event, a chance to see this roughly half-hour-long film and then have a conversation about it. Bob and Heidi are here talking about their work at the border to try to tell this story. And in a moment, we're going to really dig into this film. I want to say to listeners, if you want to interact about this issue, we'll be doing a lot on this program. I promise you that. And part of the reason I'm talking about where the polling is on this is I'm trying to acknowledge that it doesn't do anybody any good to have a talk show host who's just here trying to beat you over the head in one direction or another. America is pretty divided right now, and sometimes contradictorily so. We have a kind of tangled set of opinions, but there's a lot of strong opinions on the border. I think Bob and Heidi are making a very important point about what's going to happen in the next year. This country, if the Trump administration is successful, they will deport in a way that we really haven't seen, probably ever. NPR reported that the Trump administration has essentially cleared the way to pull kids directly out of schools. Mm-hmm. You know, that would not be something that we have seen. You could see entire crews pulled out of the backs of restaurants. You could see churches. You could see other organizations. So this is the kind of action that has been promised and that a lot of people wanted and voted for. And then the question will be, once you see it, if it happens, does that change your mind or is that what you wanted? And then what's the result to the economy? What's the result to humanity? There's a lot of questions that will be answered in the next year now that this election has happened. Elections have consequences. If you want to weigh in on this, you can do that in a lot of different ways. 844-295-TALK. It's toll free. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Connections@WXXI.org is the email address. And we are on the WXXI News YouTube channel. So if you're watching along with us every afternoon there, hello. Thank you for being with us. And you can join the chat section there on YouTube. So lots of ways to interact. And we'll be taking your feedback coming up here. Now, if you don't recall the conversation with Bob last year, this is a film that took a lot of work to get done. Here you are, Bob, on the doorstep of putting this thing out there into the world. Take us back to the beginning. Why don't you and Heidi, if you want to take us back to the impetus for how this film got made and why?
We've always, excuse me, we've always at Worldwide been interested in issues that are of humanitarian concern, shall I say, and it has been impossible, I think, to escape the reality of forced migration and mass migration and the consequences of that. So we've been thinking about this for a fair amount of time. And the concern always with our filmmaking is to put a human face on these kinds of issues so that they are no longer about refugees or asylum seekers. And to try to just as you, I think you, I can't remember exactly what you said, Evan, but to, you know, encourage a thoughtful, unhysterical conversation among the American people about these issues, particularly this issue that has been plagued and more so every day now by alarmist rhetoric that builds on itself and to the point where we're at. And so the idea behind the film was, you know, in many ways to just let's tone it down a bit. Let's talk about this. Let's lay out the truth. Let's not get hysterical. Let's deconstruct these stereotypes and, you know, try to help Americans have a thoughtful conversation about the future. I personally believe that a lot is going to be decided about what country, what kind of a country we're going to be in the next 4 years. And for that reason, there was basically no choice about what kind of a film to make or to make this film. This is what we do, you know.
You want to add to that, Heidi?
Just that we started seeing the numbers globally. I remember the one of the UN general secretaries said that this is people on the move, people being displaced by climate change, economic wars, so on. This is only the beginning, and it's not going to change. And we started seeing the numbers in Europe, and then we started hearing about what was going on at the border. And our mission has always been to educate the general public on an underreported or misreported issue, and we felt it was really important, especially in this day and age of fast news, to try to bring it down to the human aspect.
Is that there's seven phone lines filled up, so I'm going to interrupt this brief part of it, because we're in danger of having no open lines in a moment, which happens, but boy, oh boy. So let me just take some of your feedback, and we're going to work through a lot of it as we go throughout this hour. I'll start with Marilyn in Rochester. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I think Mr. Trump has effectively negated any conversation, any discussion, whatever, by all of the edicts that he's put out on since day one of his new administration. He's used every ploy that he possibly can to shut down that conversation. And case in point was last fall when there was a conversation going on in Congress, and he effectively shut that down at the very last minute. I'm not saying any of that was perfect. I'm not saying that that was the be-all and end-all solution, but I am saying that it was a start, and he shut it down. So how you get to a point where this sort of thing can happen, and he wasn't even in office then, how you can get to a point where that can happen, I just don't understand. It's a bully and a bully pulpit. And as an aside, I just want to say that I was christened, baptized, and raised at Central Presbyterian Church, and I say a hello to Mr. Bellheimer, who I know was there too. So, and I appreciate your father as well. So, at any rate, there's a lot of work to be done, and I don't know where or how that conversation can start again unless there's a huge swell of uprising amongst the people out in the United States.
Well, Marilyn, I appreciate the phone call. Bob?
Made my day, Marilyn. God bless you.
And let me just say, there's actually, I think, two different prongs to Marilyn's point about the power that this president has. First of all, over his party, I cannot recall an American politician who's just totally captured their own party more than this president has. It is really, really remarkable. He is essentially all powerful over the Republican Party. That is true. But then the question is, on the law, what can this president do? So one of the questions that's going to be addressed pretty quickly is birthright citizenship. Mm-hmm. We have a 14th Amendment. We've got a court system. And, you know, I know some listeners have said, well, there's a lot of Trump appointees in the courts. Certainly not all. But we're going to find pretty quickly just how much this executive power extends, because this is an administration that is seeking to concentrate power, not just over a party, but over all three branches if they can, to circumvent having to deal with the legislative or judicial branches. And they may be successful with that. I don't know. They may not be. But for this moment, this is the most concentrated power I think we've ever really seen in American federal government. Heidi?
I just want to add one thing. Many people don't realize that it's in our Constitution that people can come to our borders to seek asylum. That's law. We now have no asylum, nothing. The borders, that's it. No one right now can come and seek asylum, no matter how desperate, whatever your situation. Even Afghan soldiers who helped our troops are being turned back. Those were promises we made. People don't realize they're defying laws.
Yeah, so what Heidi's referring to is an order, one of the executive orders, ending all incoming flow of refugees from around the world. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation last week with those who support our Afghan partners, who, you know, that's just another prong of this. But I suspect we will see a lot of these end up with pretty quick legal challenges, and then we'll see. So the courts will have to have a lot to say about how much power the executive has. Let me just try to keep working through your calls. If you're on the line, I will try to get through all of them. But if I don't, you should probably just go to Hollerhorn on Thursday. Greg in California listening on the WXXI mobile app. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Good morning, Evan. I'm calling from San Diego, but more precisely from San Ysidro, California. Right now, I am about 1.5 miles from the Mexican border. I live in a community that is probably 98% Mexican. I'm one of the few Anglo white folks living here. And my opinion is Trump is causing this country to commit suicide economically. There is no reason for it. I just have images of a Stalinist state where people will be urged to call and turn in people. And have the ICE knocking at the door of people. Yeah, people are going to be afraid. People are going to be afraid to work in the fields of the Central Valley here in California, or maybe in the Denny's restaurant down the road here in San Ysidro. It's just an act of self-destruction.
Greg, listening in California, thank you for the phone call. Part of what Greg is describing, that culture of fear that we've been talking about, is some of what this new administration actually wants to sort of foment, because what they've described is a term that you actually heard Mitt Romney use when he was running for president, self-deportation. The idea that, well, there's so much fear, we're just going to leave on our own before we have to be deported. Is that going to happen? It's hard to believe too many people will self-deport, if you want to use that phrase. I mean, Mike, you've met many people who've crossed the border. Can you imagine thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people choosing to leave voluntarily before ICE comes?
Well, you know, in the shelter, we dealt with documented folks, or folks who were paroled into the U.S., so I can only imagine, though, if you are undocumented, that there's significant pressure on yourself, on you and your family every day. You mentioned about the store being empty, so I'm sure that there's a lot of pressure on people who do not have documents to make a decision on kind of what their future is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Bob, the Trump administration would say, good, that's the goal here. If you're not here legally, if you don't have documents, then you should be thinking that way.
Absolutely.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we're in a battle for the soul of the country, and that the current administration at the present time is winning that battle. We're in a battle for the soul of the country. It remains to be seen, and I think a lot of it is up to us. I'm very moved by what I'm hearing and on this show of folks who are deeply concerned. But I don't think there should be any mistaking the fact of how serious the Trump people are at this point and what the implications of that are for our future, our collective future as Americans.
I saw you nodding. You want to agree? You want to weigh in there, Heidi?
Yeah, because what he's saying, they want to put the fear out there because then it's saving them the trouble. Someone I know who works with migrants in our agricultural farms told me a story recently about somebody in Geneva who, because of his family, he was worried about being deported, his family left alone. He said, "We're going to go back." I don't remember if it was Guatemala or not. But this man had had a hospitalization. He owed the Geneva hospital $2,000. He went and paid the bill before he left the country. And our friend said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Because I'm a person of integrity."
Yeah. Yeah.
If listeners, if you've got stories that you want to share like that, if there, and I know that there's also questions about, you know, what's fact and reality. I want to stress again, 9 days into a new administration, I don't know that we know a lot more than some of the rumors that are out there. There's been some reporting, certainly, but we're going to do our best to try to differentiate, not to stoke fear unnecessarily, but to speak directly about what we do know and don't know. Different Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. Go ahead. Thanks for calling the show.
Sure. Thanks for taking my call, Evan. A couple points I'd like to make. One is, I think the more of us that witness what's going on directly, the more powerful our voices can be in sharing what we witness with other folks to spread that. An example is, I have 3 friends that spend the month of February every year in Arizona, not on vacation, but volunteering with the Green Valley Samaritan Group. Along the border. I'm going to go down there and visit for a few days next week, not so much with the expectation that I'm going to volunteer and really contribute in that short of a time, but really more what they want me to do is witness and come back and tell people, you know, what I see and what I've experienced there. The other point I'd like to make is, I'd like to encourage the filmmakers to take an easy route to getting some wider exposure of their film here locally by submitting to the Rochester International Film Festival. We'll be screening short films the first 3 days of May at the Dryden Theater, and submissions can go through Film Freeway, or you can go to rochesterfilmfest.org for more info. Last year, we screened a film called Shura, which was about one of the founders of the Green Valley Samaritans, and was very popular with our audience. And we have a submission already this year called They Call Me the Cross Man, about a man who builds beautiful wooden crosses and places them in the desert in locations in Arizona where, unfortunately, bodies have been retrieved. Powerful stuff.
Marilyn,
we'd love to see your film submitted.
Marilyn, thank you for that. I'll ask the filmmakers, and as I do that, I have an email from Paul in Rochester who says, "This film needs to come to Rochester soon, too. How about the Little Theater?" So Paul says Little Theater. You know, that's a home game for us. We're biased there. But Marilyn is also talking about Rochester Film Fest. Anything you want to add there, Heidi?
Just 2 quick things. Marilyn, God bless you. And you, if you see the film, you'll see a familiar face there, Gail from Green Valley, who you know is fearless. She appears in the film. And I recently spoke with someone that's currently down there on the border and where you're heading. Unfortunately, right now, they're not accepting people on a humanitarian basis. They have the heartbreaking job of those who come through that break in the wall of telling them that they have to turn around. So, you know, be strong next week. It's not going to be easy. And I look forward to entering the film into the film festival. We're on it.
Thank you, Marilyn. Paul, thank you for the email. If you're on the line, hang there. If you've sent emails, we'll get to as many as we can. We've got to take one only break of the hour, and you can see the buzz that's been generated already by this film that you can see. At the very least, you can see it Thursday. We know that. 5:30 on Thursday night. You can see it in Naples at Hollerhorn Distilling for the event there. It's a screening and fundraiser for what Robert Bilheimer and Heidi Ostertag are bringing in this film. It's called Running to Stand Still, Migrant Search for Hope in the Promised Land. They are with us in studio. Michael DeBruhl is with us on the line. He's a retired Border Patrol agent and director of a migrant shelter in El Paso, Texas. Right back to your feedback after this only break. Coming up in our second hour, President Trump's executive orders extend to the subject of DEI. He wants to abolish DEI essentially everywhere, starting with the federal government, but also in corporate America, in the academic sector. And what that means now is that DEI practitioners, if they want to keep their work going, they have to defend the practice. What's the value of DEI? What is the mission in 2025? We'll talk to practitioners next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before I get right back to your feedback, I just want to mention, I have a little bit of a connection to the wine industry, having written about the wine industry in the Finger Lakes for a number of years. And I've heard from a number of people who are already concerned about work crews, about getting crews to be able to do harvest in the years to come if we continue on this path. And Heidi, you were mentioning during our brief break that you're not surprised that our phone bank got filled up and that our emails are getting filled up, that people are very engaged. You've already seen it yourself. Yeah. The question I have is this the film that says, hey, we're going to change the minds of the people who want mass deportation, or are you galvanizing the choir who already opposes mass deportation?
No, this is a conversation starter.
It's a conversation starter. Okay.
Yeah, we witnessed someone at a recent screening who has a daughter-in-law that she loves, but they're on the other two sides of this issue. And she said that her daughter-in-law was interested in talking about the humanity of it. I said, show her the film. I said, please have home, invite people to your home, have house screenings where people can talk about it. It's just putting the facts out there. Mass deportation was meant to remove the criminals, migrant criminals, people in our jails. We get that. But you're sweeping up, as the border czar said, collateral damage, which is people that have been in our neighborhoods for 30 years picking the fruits. Dairy farmers. We're one of the largest dairy farmers in the country. And so that's what we're trying to get across. These are our neighbors.
Let's get back to your phone calls. This is Jana in Geneva, listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS. Hey, Jana, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jana. I love your show, Dawson, and thank you for taking my call. I am the child of an immigrant. My father was born in Poland. His entire family, who stayed in Poland, was deported to Treblinka. And that is the end result of deportations. I think it is an obligation, especially as a child of an immigrant, to support the Spanish community here in Geneva. We can hold that film showing at the Smith Opera House. We can, I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
It's okay.
I think it is a responsibility of the non-Hispanic community here in Geneva to shop at the store that is mentioned, and I am going to volunteer myself to bring groceries to the Hispanic community who is afraid to shop at Hernandez. I don't want them to be charged for their grocery deliveries, and that's my take on it. Think globally, act locally.
Jana, thank you for the phone call. And I'll just say what Jana is talking about is feeling a sense of, I've got a strong view on this issue, and what can I do? So Jana is looking in her own community for that. When you zoom out, you've got questions about how to fix the issue more broadly. So Jennifer, Jana, thank you. Jennifer writes to say, it seems that we rarely hear about how much help it would be to increase the number of immigration judges and decrease the enormous backlog of asylum seekers and refugees. I'm baffled at why this isn't more directly addressed. These folks should not have to wait years to have their cases decided. That is from Jennifer. So Jennifer is thinking on the big picture side. And this is something that I'll give our guests in studio time to talk about this, but let me turn to Michael DeBrule on this one, because Michael has said that you can admit that there's a problem with our immigration system that needs addressing, and address it in ways that don't feel inhumane, to use the words of our guests in studio. So Michael, when Jennifer says, can't we fix these problems more quickly? Why are people waiting so long? She's seeing one aspect of this problem. How do you see that? Is this part of the solutions you want to see, Mike?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Evan, you know, this the immigration system is a hub with many spokes, and that is the immigration system, as Heidi mentioned, and many people characterize it as broken. You know, there are many things that can be done to relieve pressure on the border. There are many aspects that that we can address to fix and support a system that upholds the rule of law and helps with our economic interests of, you know, citizens of the United States, and certainly like in your area, helps the economic system. So there are a lot of things that we can do, but actually getting to the point where we can address those issues, that is the difficulty when you're in a situation in which we are, everyone is in their own corner and espousing their views as the correct views. It's difficult to come to those solutions. But she's right. These are part of the solutions that we should talk about. We have to understand that. And Heidi and Bob did such a great job of bringing a human face to immigration. And that is, we have to always keep in mind that we can affect rules and laws and policies, but there is a cost to those things. So we should always keep that in mind. The day I graduated from the Border Patrol Academy, my father, who worked at the ports of entry here in El Paso, he told me, you know, today your life is going to change. Today, you become a Border Patrol agent. Remember that you're not a customs officer. You're not dealing with widgets. You're dealing with a human being. So accord everyone respect and allow everyone their dignity. And I think that we have to keep that in mind, no matter what if we are working within the system and whatever, as a nation, whatever policies and laws and rules we enact, we have to keep in mind that those policies and rules and laws have an effect on human beings.
Bob and Heidi, do you want to talk a little bit about how you see possible solutions?
Go ahead.
I think Mike hit on it. I mean, we need to come together, both sides. I mean, what we're telling people is, you know, everybody can do something here. We should not feel that we don't have any power to try to change what's happening. We have midterms coming up. Let's put our energies into approaching Congress people, senators that are up for re-election. Find out, where do they stand? What are you going to do? We need to change this immigration system. It needs to be more humane. We need to kind of get back to where we used to be. It's not punching a like on Instagram for, you know, support your local migrants. That doesn't do anything. I'm not saying we need to get out in the streets again. And, you know, really let our voices be heard in a nonviolent way. But like some of the callers are saying, you know, do something, get involved in the community. There's many ways that we can do this, but we have to raise our voices. We can't sit with our head in the sand for the next 4 years.
Let me get Frank on the phone in Greece next. Hey, Frank, go ahead.
Yes, hello. About 6 months ago, I was near the Oxford and Monroe neighborhood, a little bit on the western side. It was about 10:30 p.m., and I saw a beat-up van pull over in front of a convenience store. And I saw, no joke, about 12 or 15 people pile out wearing backpacks and sneakers and tattered jeans. To me, it seemed obviously like they were illegal migrants or people traveling under less than ideal circumstances. And I did something I wasn't sure I should do. I called 911 because I was afraid some of those people might be girls. Some of those people might be human trafficked for the most worst work possible. And all I want to do is I want to remind you what Elie Wiesel said. And here's a man who knew how to run for his life. Elie Wiesel said, "There are no illegal immigrants. Only the documentation is faulty."
Well, Frank, I appreciate the call. I mean, obviously, I don't have any information about what you saw. I will say this, again, from the journalistic perspective, WXXI News is committed to reporting what we know. We understand there's a lot of buzz, fear, rumors. I know that. And there's nothing wrong with sharing what you saw or are concerned about. And there are times where we'll be able to investigate it. I'm sure, you know, Frank decided to call the authorities to check in on that. I would just urge everyone to try to take a breath before you share something that you think is fact if you don't know that it's fact. Let's have, I think, direct conversations that acknowledge what we know and don't know, or what we think we know but might not be sure of, because this is a time where things can explode. Mm-hmm. And that may not necessarily help things either. So, and Frank did what he thought was best. He called the authorities. I mean, and I get it. I totally understand that. I appreciate that, Frank. Thank you. Bob writes to me to say, "Evan, during a recent taxi ride to JFK, the driver remarked on the recent and noticeable reduction of truck traffic in the Brooklyn region that he had experienced. This phenomenon he attributed to delivery drivers' fear of being picked up by ICE. He mused on the substantial impact on many of the businesses in the surrounding New York City region, including New Jersey, and wondered how those businesses were going to survive. An unintended consequence of the president's deportation policies that had not registered in my awareness. Being involved in the wine industry in the Finger Lakes, my own sensitivities have been far more attuned to agriculture and hospitality industries that we anticipate will very likely be substantially impacted." That is from Bob. Bob, I appreciate the email. Thank you. And listeners, we just got a few minutes left here. So, you know, if you're just joining us here, you're late to what has been a really, I think, powerful hour of listeners sharing their thoughts, their concerns, different people in different communities. We've heard from people in California. We've got a guest on the border in El Paso who's been with us. And we've been talking about this new film that you can see at Hollerhorn on Thursday. This Thursday, 5:30 at Hollerhorn Distilling down in Naples, free admission for the film that Bob and Heidi have been talking about. They're bringing you the film Running to Stand Still, Migrants Search for Hope in the Promised Land. So I asked Heidi about this. I'll ask you, Bob. People are going to, you're going to take them in this film to the border, and they may see things they have not seen. What do you hope it moves people to feel or do, Bob?
Knowledge is powerful. And at the simplest level, that's what this film seeks to do. We don't advocate. We never have. We try to tell the truth and in a sense leave it at that and put our faith and hope in basic human compassion and understanding. That really is what we try to do as filmmakers, is to just put it out there and let people draw their own conclusions. I mean, everyone, I remember when I interviewed for another film, the AIDS film that we made, I interviewed Kofi Annan, who was the General Secretary of the United Nations at the time. And I asked him the question that you asked me. And he said, we can all do something according to who we are. And I've thought about that ever since, because it was so simple in some ways, but so profound in another way, because it meant that acting really on an issue like this becomes an act of self-definition. Who am I?
Similar to the phone call we got from Jonna in Geneva, who was trying to figure out a way that she could act in a way that she thought was appropriate.
For herself.
For herself.
Exactly.
Empowering, yeah.
Evan Dawson, XXI, Bob and Heidi, filmmakers. You know, it goes on and on and on. we're all individuals, and I do ultimately think that we're talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about self-definition here, and I think we'll all find the answers within ourselves.
Michael DeBruhl, down to our last minute, what do you want to leave listeners as we continue to watch the story unfold?
Well, you know, I go back to saying that, you know, if you are concerned about a secure border, that's fine. I believe that every country in the world has the right and maybe the responsibility to affect migration laws on the border. You want to know who's coming, why they're coming, what their intent is, who they are, etc. But, you know, we can have an immigration system that's fair, orderly, and allows opportunities for legal migration in a way that advances our economic security and societal interests, and that addresses the root causes that lead to mass migration, and that treats with everyone with dignity and values immigrants' contributions to the success of our nation. I mean, really, if you look at the history of migration in our country, it's a positive one. And I think that immigration really should be a sign of a confident and successful nation. So I think that we need to get back to that.
Michael DeBruhl, retired Border Patrol agent, director of a shelter in El Paso, Texas. Mike, thanks for being with us this hour.
My pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
Listeners can meet Robert Bilheimer and Heidi Ostertag on Thursday at Hollerhorn. And apparently, we've got a lot of listeners who would like to drag you all over the region to do more with the film here. Go ahead,
Heidi. To our website, runningtostandstillfilmseries.com.
runningtostandstillfilmseries.com. You can learn more about not only the film, but maybe get in touch with the filmmakers. There's a lot of interest to bring
Absolutely.
The film in different places. Stay in touch with us.
Thank you
both for being here.
Wonderful show.
Thank you.
So
Thank
encouraging
you,
to hear all these folks.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Listeners,
thanks, Mike.
We've got more listeners coming up here in just a second.